Welcome to Take on the Lake. I've got a story for you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Take on the Lake. I'm your host, Nathan Bechtold, and I'm glad you're here. Let me talk to you for just a moment about this show before we get into this week's interview. Take on the Lake is produced by LakeExpo.com, the media company at Lake of the Ozarks that covers news, events, boating, real estate, the lake life, everything about the Lake of the Ozarks. We love telling the stories of the lake, and so we decided to extend that into the podcast format. You'll be able to find Take on the Lake on the major podcast platforms, and you'll also be able to find it on YouTube if you like streaming video for podcasts. That was not my original plan, but as I began talking to people about how we were going to start a podcast, so many people asked me if I was going to be on YouTube, if I was going to do video. And my response was, no, why would I do video? It's a podcast, because I'm just one of those weird people that likes to just listen to podcasts. But apparently there's a whole genre of people out there that want to watch a podcast or at least want to stream it on YouTube. So regardless of whether you're streaming it on YouTube or whether you're streaming it on one of the podcast apps, I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited about some things we have coming down the line. We're going to have some really cool interviews, some really cool people on the show. We're going to tell some stories of the lake, dive into some controversial issues along the way, and invite some folks to join us. I think it's going to be really fun. This week's episode is an interview with a young man named Trevin Dawson. Now, if that name rings a bell, it's probably because you watch the TV show The Voice. Trevin Dawson had an outstanding audition on The Voice for this season. He came on, 17-year-old guy from Cole Camp, Missouri, so just a little north of Lake of the Ozarks, and blew away all the judges with his banging rendition of Religiously. You should go look it up, like pause this and go find it on YouTube. It was incredible. All the judges wanted him, but there was only one spot left. It was on Adam Levine's team, and so Adam got Trevin on his team. We got the chance to interview Trevin and loved the Central Missouri boy connection, and so we had a really good time interviewing Trevin. Got to hear his backstory a little bit, how long he's been doing music. This dude has a bright future ahead of him, so I'm excited about you to see and listen to this interview. But before we do, two quick things. And these are spoilers, so you can fast forward if you don't like spoilers. But one, this interview actually has more of a connection to Lake of the Ozarks than I thought it might. I wouldn't normally have interviewed somebody from outside the lake area talking about a TV show for the first episode of this show, but this one just kind of fell into our laps. And as we talked, I discovered that Trevin's actually going to be performing at Lake of the Ozarks this summer at Ozarks Amphitheater. So watch for that at LakeExpo.com. We're going to be talking about where you can see him, and actually we'll have all the concerts for Ozarks Amphitheater at Lake Expo. So that's spoiler number one. We'll talk about that in the episode. Number two is about the show. So when I recorded this interview with Trevin, I didn't know what I know now, which is that Trevin has lost in a knockout round on the show. So when we recorded the episode, Trevin had just actually won a battle episode between him and another contestant. So we talk about that a little bit in the interview. But I didn't know that just a week later, Trevin would actually be knocked out of the show. Of course, he knew that. And so there were things that he couldn't share or say whenever we were talking. And you'll notice that during the interview. And of course, hindsight, you now go, oh yeah, okay, well, that's why he couldn't say that thing. But really cool interview nonetheless, and I think we're going to be seeing and hearing a lot more of Trevin Dawson. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Trevin Dawson. Hey everyone, Nathan with Lake Expo, and today I'm talking with Trevin Dawson, the 17-year-old from Cole Camp, Missouri, who came out of nowhere on NBC's The Voice and blew audiences and coach Adam Levine away with his audition. It was an awesome audition. And so I want to talk a little about that today, but welcome. Thanks for coming on, Trevin. Thanks for talking with me today.
Hey, awesome. Thank you so much, man. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good now that we're chatting. I saw your audition and then got the opportunity to chat with you. And when we did an article about at Lake Expo, we cover Lake of the Ozarks area. So when we did a piece about your audition and how you were doing there, dude, it blew up. People were so excited for you. So that was pretty cool. Will you tell us just like a little about yourself? I know you're from Cole Camp. I know a few other things, but pretend like I don't. Just give me a little background, a little bio.
Of course. So I was born in Van Buren, Missouri. It's a really, really small town. That's where I was originally from. I lived there for about 9 years. And then we traveled around the states, the United States. My dad worked in oil and gas for 12 years. And then, we settled down up in Cole Camp area. And I've lived there for about 9 years now. Actually, I've lived there for 9 years now. And we just relocated up to the KC area.
Okay. Nice. Nice. What's your, I guess, so like y'all, you just moved. I was going to ask about your connection to the Cole Camp community and stuff, but I guess you're kind of making new community connections now in KC area, huh?
Oh yeah, we are, but we stay true to our roots down in Cole Camp.
Nice. Nice. Now, did I read that you are homeschooled?
Yes, sir. You did.
All right. From start, I mean, you're 17. So what are you a junior or senior or what?
Graduated.
Oh, graduated. Okay. So you're done. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We graduated me so I can focus on music.
Awesome. Awesome. So you homeschooled like start to finish, basically.
Yes. When I was down in Van Buren, I went to school down there for a while. And then we went off and on homeschool. And then once we went on the road, it was full homeschool. We went to a couple different schools on the road. And then I went to Cole Camp School for like, I think a semester. And then we went back into homeschool. And then we went to LSA and then went straight back to homeschool.
Nice. So you've been all around. I guess part of the advantage of that was what it gave you a lot of freedom to do music or whatever else.
100%. Being homeschooled has been one of the biggest blessings in my life because it is not only shaped who I am today, but like it's given me the free time to practice and practice and practice and just really dig down deep into music.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I've got 5 kids. My oldest is just a few years younger than you. He's 14 and we homeschool them too. So he'll be glad to learn some of that. That's a pretty cool story.
That is awesome.
When did you first pick up guitar? When did you start playing?
So according to my Mimi, 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
But I really started getting serious about it. Like I actually started learning the guitar when I was 11, 10 or 11. I think I just had turned 11. And then I started learning chords and all that jazz. And then I learned my first song, which I was really stoked about that. And then I just fell in love with music. And I was like, okay, this is really cool. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to do.
Who was teaching you guitar, like when you started really playing at 11 or whatever?
Myself.
Okay, you're self-taught.
Yeah, I self-taught myself how to play guitar. YouTube was like the biggest thing.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. What was your first song? You said you learned different. You remember what the first one was?
The first one was Old Red.
Oh,
Old Red by Blake Shelton.
Yeah. 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 Love that song. Nice. Mm-hmm. That's a good first song.
Oh, yeah. Blake Shelton was a big inspiration for a long time for me.
Yeah, but not on The Voice this year for you.
So for The Voice this year, I think my biggest inspiration, because like as time passes, like you change a little bit. So My music taste has also changed. I went more into like a red dirt bluegrass kind of thing. So right now, my biggest inspiration is Chris Stapleton. And I have like modeled my voice after him.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that. I don't listen to a ton of country, but I do like Chris Stapleton. And I hear that in your voice. That's good stuff. You perform all over the place though, right? I mean, you're doing a lot of gigs and you've been doing them for a little bit.
Yeah, man. Me and my support team, which is my mom, my sister, and my father, we have been moving and shaking like since day one of music, man. I started at the local farmer's market. And then from there, it just grew. Like people were like, hey, we like how you sound. Can you come play here? And I'm like, yes, of course. We'll just charge like $100, right? We were doing that like every single weekend. And I was like, dang, I think we should start charging like $200. So we started charging $200. We were still getting gigs. And I was like, dang, this is actually really cool. Now, it has went from the local farmer's market to The Voice, and now we will be playing at Ozark Amphitheater in the Jeep Fest. I don't know if you know what that is.
Dude, here, Ozark's Amphitheater here at the lake?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, dude. I was going to ask about if you had any connections there. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It is going to be an amazing show, and I cannot even begin to explain how excited I am. I don't know if you could tell by like the grin on my face.
That's great.
It is such an honor to not only be part of the voice, but being able to expand from it.
Yeah, man, that's super cool. That must be, I don't know, I would imagine that would be almost, I feel like your head's spinning with how fast things have accelerated, but I'm sure it's a blast.
It is. It's like, I'm holding on like an 8-second ride, and I just hope I can hold on for the whole 8 seconds.
Nice.
It is a wild ride. It really is, and it is happening fairly fast. But I do have to thank my father and my mother and my sister and my whole entire support group, my fans. Like, they're the ones who's keeping me down and keeping me steady.
Yeah, I'm sure that's important. You play guitar. You play anything else?
No, I've dabbled in piano a little bit, but my main instrument is guitar. I really, really want to learn the piano, though.
That's what I was going to ask, if you had one on the list to learn next. So piano, maybe.
Yes.
All right.
Well, if you need a piano teacher, I bet there'd be some folks lining up. To that audition, religiously, that was an awesome moment. I mean, actually, that was just great television, too. Like, the way they produced it was so great.
Oh, yeah.
I rewatched it again today, and it's a tearjerker, man. They cut over to your family, and mom's there crying and cheering for you. That was amazing. Go back there for a second. Scale of 1 to 10, how nervous were you?
100. If I'll be honest, I was like, the only thing that got me through that day was push-ups and prayers. That was it. Like, I did push-ups all day, and I prayed all day. Before I went on stage, I said a little prayer, and I was like, God, just please, whatever happens, just let it happen, okay? And I went on stage, and I just let the music lead me. And I just did my job, man. I did what I went there to do. I interacted with the crowd, and I actually, fun fact, didn't know that Adam turned for me. I didn't realize it.
Oh, really?
But I was still, like, performing to him. That was just, like, what I was going to do. But then I realized he was turned, and I was like, oh, hey, what in the heck? Oh, my gosh. I was dying on the inside. Like, I know I might have looked cool, calm, collected on the outside, but on the inside, oh, my Lord, my heart was racing so bad.
You kept your composure pretty good, but I could tell. I think most folks could tell there were little nerves there, which actually is awesome, because I can't imagine a person that would not be a little nervous, but you killed that performance. I'm actually not, like I said, I don't listen to a ton of country music, so my confession is I'd actually never heard that song.
Oh, and really?
So, yeah, so I went and listened to it later, and I like your version better.
Oh,
so,
thank you so much.
Man, it was great. It was great. So why'd you pick that song?
I picked that song because I lost somebody who truly believed in me, and he was a great friend of mine. He didn't die or nothing. He just moved away, and I lost contact with him, sadly. But that was like a real big driver for that song for me, because he truly did mean a lot to me. Like, he was, since when I was a kid, we went over the road for a long time. And anybody that I ever met, I was always the new kid in town. So everybody that I ever met and ever made a friend with, I had to come to the realization when I was really young that I would just lose them anyways. So there was no point of getting attached to anybody other than your family. And that, like, went into my friendships now. Like, I've known my friend Noah for, holy crap, has it been 10 years? Oh, my Lord, I've known my friend Noah now for 10 years. That's crazy. Sorry. Total realization moment right there. But, like, I'm still learning how to be, like, the best friend that I can. But with Riker, he was, like, truly a friend that I could call a brother. Like, I could call him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and be like, hey, I need some help. And he'd be there.
That's great. I have sang and done things publicly as well some, and I know that sometimes whenever something is, like, connected to your heart and a story, it makes it better, but also harder to keep your composure sometimes too.
Yeah, it truly does, because, like, you have to, like, be cognizant in the moment and think about if this sounds good and if it sounds right, and then at the same time, you have to put all the feeling that you can into it without, like, crying or laughing or whatever you're feeling in the moment.
Right. Yeah. You're still performing, right?
Yeah.
So most recent episode, as of we're recording this, was the battle with Tyler. I'm with you. So right after you get done thinking that, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, I've got it, she's got it, I don't know? What were you feeling?
To be honest, I was really honored to work with Tyler. I was just happy to be there with her and super honored and proud to work with a fellow artist and a friend to be able to sing with her. But at the same time, I knew that in the end, someone would get chosen. Someone might get stolen or saved. I didn't know which one would happen. Sadly, Tyler didn't get saved nor stolen. And I went through, but it was a great performance and I loved every second of it.
Dude, it was great. How much time do you spend, like the two of you, working that out? Give me an hour estimate. Like for that song, how many hours you figure you guys logged on that?
Probably like maybe 7 or 8.
Okay.
Maybe a little more. To be honest with you, the days ran through with each other. But when it came to practicing, she knew the song through and through. I did not. I knew absolutely nothing about it. I didn't know who Avril Lavigne was, nor like the song, which is crazy because that's my mom's favorite song of Avril Lavigne's.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I didn't know it.
Nice.
So I had to not only learn like a completely new song, it was a completely different genre. And I was like, all right, oh, shoot. She knows it. I'm screwed. My pooch is screwed. But then like Tyler really helped me throughout all that. She's like, Trevin, you got this. I believe in you. Whatever happens, happens. Okay.
Nice.
And she taught me some stuff on some harmonies and stuff like that. And she was all around just a really good person.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. Well, she was great. I mean, she performed great too. So huge props to her. She's very talented. I Facebook stalked you a little bit, and what you had on there was favorite country artists or Garth Brooks and Johnny Cash. Maybe add Chris Stapleton to that. But I think those are quality choices. Name a favorite or two by one or both of those guys or all three of them.
So probably with Johnny Cash, it would be maybe Folsom Prison Blues would probably be my favorite.
Good choice.
And with Garth Brooks, I really like The River or Beer Run. Beer Run's a really good one. But for Chris Stapleton, it would definitely have to be Higher, I think.
Okay. Nice. All right, good. Good choices. You ever listen to any late Johnny Cash? I love his later stuff. Actually, I actually love it more than his early stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like in his old age, dude, I love some of that stuff. That's good Johnny.
Oh, yeah. The cover he did of Hurt when he was older.
Amazing.
It hits so hard.
Dude, yeah. Yeah.
I tried to cover that one time at a show, and I was like, I did not do that justice at all. It was good. It was the best take I've ever taken of it, but just Johnny, like the way that he carried himself throughout that song was just a heart-wrenching, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. So whenever, at least for me, whenever I watch a show like The Voice or something like that, a semi-reality type show, when you're watching it, it's just as a person who doesn't know anybody on there, you don't think about the fact that the people there, I mean, they do portray this in the production in the background, but they have like a whole life going on in between episodes even and stuff. So you have a lot of stuff going on. You just moved, you're playing gigs still, right? So what does your life look like right now while the show is going on, while you're filming? Are you flying back and forth to California? How often? And what does your schedule look like?
So like with that, man, it's a pretty crazy thing because we're still like doing shows and doing life and doing all the things that we've done before. But I don't know if I'm really able to talk about if I fly back or nothing yet.
Okay.
Just for NDA purposes.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I was just thinking about, I'm sure it makes life pretty crazy that you're carrying on with life and then you got the show that's happening while you play gigs and do the stuff that you do, right?
100%. When I flew back this last time, I actually wrote a song flying back. It's called Us in This Place. And it's about how it truly is like the first line coming into it is, it's getting harder and harder to leave, but there's something I gotta do. And it's so true because it kept getting harder and harder to leave my family. And like I closed my guitar case and I looked at my mom and I started to cry a little bit because it's a hard thing to leave my mother and my sister behind. While me and dad go and we do our thing.
Tell me a little bit, it sounds like, especially that audition was a spiritually significant experience for you too. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, 100%. With that performance, I was I was coming back into Christianity because I was in a dark way for about 5 years, and I fell away from God, and I struggled with depression a lot, and it drove me to do some things that I'm happy that it happened because it's made me who I am today, but I never want to go back there. But with the performance-wise, I came back to Christianity through The Voice and through my sister, because my sister brought me back. I remember all how it happened. I was in the bathroom, just sitting there because I needed to be alone. And I texted my sister and I told her, I was like, Kyra, I don't know what to do anymore. And my sister texted me back. She's like, have you prayed about it? I said, no, I hadn't. She's like, why not? I don't want to. Well, why not? Because I'm too far gone for God to reach me anymore. And she sent me a song, and it was God's Not Done With You. And I think that was like a couple days before my blinds, and I fell apart. I just fell apart in that bathroom, and I took a good long look at who I was and what my life like entailed with and how my mental state was. And I prayed a lot that night, and I found myself back with God before I went on stage for The Voice.
Dude, that's awesome. That's fantastic. That's great to hear. As a fellow brother, that's great to hear. So proud of you. Good story. Any other cool experiences you've had so far with The Voice, or people you've met, or things that have, I know there's some stuff that you can't share, obviously, but anything that maybe that you can?
Yeah. The Voice, probably one of the coolest things about The Voice is that it's just a big family. Like, it is such a well-oiled machine. It is insane. Everybody there does their job and they do it fantastically. I've met so many great artists there, not just like Adam or Kelsey or Buble or Legend. No, I'm talking like Jalen. Jalen was, he's my man. I really so bad want to do something with Jay, like what I did with Lucia the other day. Lucia, she's a really nice lady. She taught me a lot about like breathing exercises and how to carry notes. So like we used to do this thing at the hotel at the pool, and they had like a little campfire thing. So we'd fire up the campfire and we'd just play songs. We would all just like share notes with everything, and we would just play until we couldn't play no more. So that's probably one of the coolest things, being in such an intimate environment and getting to know the people so well. That's like, oh, I've known that guy for years, even though I've only just met him three hours ago.
That's cool. That's cool. It seems like your popularity or your kind of footprint is growing. I assume you've been hearing from more people than you ever have before for offers for shows, Ozarks Amphitheater thing and whatever else. So yeah, tell me about any other kind of cool opportunities, if you can, that have come your way or as a result of just being out there more and people getting to see and hear you. I think that audition video is at least 500,000 views on that thing on YouTube alone and growing. So
it is truly crazy how The Voice has helped me throughout my music career. And yeah, we got some pretty big gigs coming around. Actually, this hat right here, Pops, that's an event down in Van Buren, Missouri, down by Kern River. And I'm going to be opening up for Tyler Falk. And Warren Ziders is who I'm going to be opening up for in the Ozark Amphitheater. And right now we're trying to do some things, possibly, no guarantees, possibly in Nashville. With recording and getting some originals recorded.
You have quite a few that you've written?
Oh, yeah. Me and my dad, my dad's my co-writer. I'm really good at one-liners. I think there's only been a handful of songs that I've ever actually fully written by myself. But my dad and I have written all of our songs. We have probably like 20 or 30 that we've written over the course of 5 years, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually, it's more, because we just finished a song over darts the other day. There's a funny story how that happened. Me and my Uncle Derek were over there shooting darts, right? And I now have a girlfriend, so I'm feeling all these things that I've never felt before, like with that. And I was like, wishing I was kissing you instead of missing you. And then my Uncle Derek says something, and I was like, I threw my darts on the board real quick. I'm grabbing my guitar and my phone. We're recording this right now.
Nice. It's so convenient that kissing and missing rhyme. It just makes for, for great songwriting. It's so helpful.
It does.
That's great, dude. Well, I look forward to seeing what you come out with next. If, let's say you go all the way at The Voice, what would be your, or you don't, or whatever. What's the dream sort of scenario 6 months, a year, a couple years out? What does that look like for you?
Going on tour and doing big boy things. I think that's the goal right now, man. I was thinking, I'm going to be honest with you. It's been moving so fast. I was thinking the other day, and I was just talking to my girlfriend too, because she's also a singer. I said, what if in the next 2 years, me and you went out on tour and we actually went out on tour and did stuff. And she's like, that'd be cool. But yeah, this year's been already getting like super booked up and stuff. And I'm thinking like probably this year or next year. I don't know when it's going to happen anymore. I thought maybe in the next 2 years tour, but it might come even sooner than that with how like people are reaching out and the contacts that we're getting right now is absolutely insane. So man, it's like I said, it's an 8 second ride and I hope I can ride it for the full 8 seconds.
Well, I think it might come faster than you think. Yeah, man. I think with the exposure from the show and just you and your story, again, I think you've got a great story. And I would say lean into that because I think people will find you someone they can connect with and that is likable. And obviously, you're a freaking awesome singer. Like Adam said on that audition, or several of them, you sound much older than you are. You developed a great voice. So that's fantastic. So hey, man, that's all I got. I actually appreciate you just taking some time and sharing your story and break a leg on what's ahead and keep up those prayers and push-ups.
I will.
All right. So that was a pretty awesome interview with Trevin. I loved getting to hear his story. And man, I think that dude has quite a career ahead of him. So thanks to Trevin for coming on the show. Thank you guys for listening. And watchlakeexpo.com. We'll be talking about how you can see Trevin this summer at Ozarks Amphitheater. And in fact, we'll have a list of all the concerts that you can go to at Ozarks Amphitheater this summer. We might even see you there. So stay tuned. There's more coming. This has been Take on the Lake. Thanks for listening.